Hello, this is Joseph Koizenkoden, and welcome to the KS Podcast, where we cover my ancestors from coast to coast like butter and toast. Today, we will be interviewing my Aunt Nancy Strauchy. She grew up in Meriden, Connecticut, in her grandmother's house upstairs. It was also quite convenient seeing how it was near her school, which her father had attended before her. When she was around my age, she moved to a new location that her father had bought. She also moved to the Sacred Heart Academy for schooling.
Dad had bought another house in more of a suburban area. He was a veteran from World War II, so veterans got easy loans to buy houses. And houses were cheap back then. Our house that Dad bought in a development, it was like a horseshoe kind of joined by streets kind of development. And the house was bought for $12,500, pretty cheap.
In her day, music was on the rise with things such as rock and roll becoming very popular at the time. One of my mother's friends even dated one of the Animals, a popular band group at the time. This also starts what she calls the British invasion of music with people like the Rolling Stones. How do you think your life has changed since then? Like, what about the world has been different since that period?
Yeah. Well, you have to remember that, I'm 76, so the world has been changing all along. You know, people of my age bracket, we've lived through post-World War II, the Vietnam War, the women's liberation, racial changes with voting rights for Black persons, and we lived through JFK's assassination, the landing on the moon. A lot of these things were, kind of earth-shaking events. And I think my age bracket, because we've lived through a lot of interesting times, we're not surprised by much, you know.
See that?
Things were harder in terms of communication. When we were kids, we had a telephone that had a party line on it. So when we wanted to talk to somebody, we would lift the receiver in the kitchen. And if another person was talking on the phone, you had to wait until they got off the phone for you to actually, dial your number. We didn't have cell phones, and, there were no computers. I often think how my dad would have loved GPS in the car because it would have been so much easier than following maps all the time. The people ahead of me in that generation, I think they would have really liked some of the modern conveniences. When my parents died, I think the modern convenience that was new at that point was like a microwave, because they died in the late 1980s.
She next talked about her grandfather and what he was like, describing how he owned a motorcycle with a little sidecar, and how they used to ride in it with his uncle and her grandmother. They also owned a wine bottling business with a close friend named Rosagini, who helped them bottle the wine. So the wine was called Storaci and Rosagini. Yet, when her grandfather died, her family fell into a hardship since it was in the Great Depression era of America. So her father was forced to work.
By the time he was 16, he was, holding a job. He had to quit school. And then the war came, and he volunteered for the Coast Guard. And during the wartime, he went on boats that went through the Panama Canal, and they would escort boats through the Panama Canal. He went to Hawaii. He went to Borneo, different places, so a kid from Meriden, Connecticut, suddenly was thrust into the bigger world. So when he came back from the war, he knew my mother because they had met, I think, when he was on leave. They used to come into Boston, I think, and then they would have to hitchhike home and then hitchhike back to the boat. She was 7 years younger than Dad. They started writing to each other. So it wasn't too long after Dad got out of the service that they got married. She was 19 and he was 26. And because he was a veteran, he was able to go to school to be an electrician. And he started working for General Motors. And pretty much that's what he did until he retired. Yeah. Mom, she was a housewife. And when she was a younger person, she played the fife in a fife and drum corps. They'd be in parades and stuff. Dad played the trombone too.
What exactly is a fife?
A fife is it looks like a flute, and you play it like this, in front of your mouth, not long ways. Usually like Revolutionary War bands used to have fife players.
Afterwards, we talked about her education and how she went to the same high school and middle school as her father and aunts before her. She did very well in school, possibly hyperbole, possibly not, but otherwise she went through her classes well. She went through the bus with other boys from her high school, and they got into a bit of mischief there.
So we would get on the bus at about 6:30 in the morning. And the first bus had Notre Dame boys on the bus. They went to West Haven to the boys' school. So we would pick up boys and girls along the way, and we would go to a neighboring city, Wallingford. The girls would get off of that bus at the train station, and we'd wait for the girls' high school bus to come. And so it took a long time. The school started about 8 o'clock, but we were on the bus since 6:30 in the morning. We would do all our homework on the bus. So if one person had something wrong, we all had it wrong because we shouted out the answers to each other, on the bus. One time, when I was in Latin 4 as a senior, the sister who was the teacher was the principal of the school, Sister Antonine, and we would go up and down to translate the Latin, and we were doing the Aeneid at that point. And so she picked on me, and I said, "Well, Aeneas was eating grass." And she said, "What?" And then she picked the next girl in back of me to translate the same thing, and the kid said, "Aeneas was eating grass." And what she didn't realize, what the sister didn't realize, was she was picking people that were on the same bus as me. So, of course, we all had Aeneas was eating grass. Actually, what he was doing is picking up firewood, but we didn't realize that.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
After such, we discussed who her idol was in her life, who inspired her to be who she was today.
The older uncle, he was a couple years older than my mother, and he was unmarried, and he was my godparent. He was my godfather, and he never got married, and he didn't have children of his own, and so all of us nephews and nieces were like his children. So he was very generous. Like one time, somebody stole my bike off of our property, and within a week, my Uncle Butch bought me a new bike. So he noticed what we wanted or needed, and he was like a second father to us. In the summertime, my grandmother had a table with an umbrella attached in the backyard, and my Uncle Butch, he worked the night shift, so all summer long he was available to us during the day, so he was like an extra playmate, and so we would play cards on that table like all morning long. Or, part of the afternoon until he had to go to work. And he didn't drive, he took the bus to work usually. In terms of the way he was gentle with people and generous with people, I think that really stuck in my mind for, being a model of how you should be with people.
We next talk about why she decided to join the convent and why she decided to go into her life of faith at all, and how her life up to that point has affected her choice in faith. Why did you decide to join a convent?
Well, I had sisters in grade school, and I had sisters as teachers in high school. And the sisters in the grade school were very nice. I liked them very much, but culturally, they were not similar to my background. I'm Polish and Italian, so they were mostly Irish, they were very nice, but culturally it was, different. But when I went to high school, the sisters belonged to a congregation that was started in Italy, and that was more culturally similar to what I was used to at home. Not all the sisters were Italian, but the Our foundress was from Italy. And I always thought the sisters, both groups, had a nice balanced life. They had a professional life, they taught school, they interacted nicely with people and with students, and they had a prayer life. And I just thought it was, a way to live that was honorable and helpful, and it was a service to people. And I wouldn't say I was terribly religious as a kid. Like our parents, we always went to church on Sunday, we were practicing Catholics, but I wouldn't say that I was overly religious. To tell you the truth, sometimes I think I'm not overly religious now either. I'm just an ordinary person. And, I do have a regular prayer life with the sisters. And, our schedule is, regular. I think people, have a misconception sometimes about religious, in thinking that we're terribly different from lay people, and that's not really true.
Finally, we will discuss what she does now. She works up with a hospital doing work for a prison sometimes and talking to her students, others, for she taught almost every grade before this, having students from Taiwan to the US. She also knows many prisoners and prison guards for her time teaching and preaching at the prisons. Thank you for your time here, and it was a pleasure for you to listen in. I was your host, Joseph Koizengoden, and thank you, Aunt Nancy, for participating in this speech.